All right, a Monday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Corey Anderson and Beards. We've got you for the next 4 hours. We had up until 2 o'clock. A lot of stuff to get into today. Number of things to talk about as it relates to Major League Baseball, some NFL, some hockey, some college baseball as well along the way. Maybe a little NBA with some draft as well that we may get into before the show is over. Some trade talk in Major League Baseball going on as well. So, a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of interesting stuff from the weekend that was maybe with the Royals and some other things. So 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show. 913-912-4810, text line to join us if you want to be a part of the show. How the show lines up today, we'll talk some Royals with different guests that we have on. Craig Brown will be our guest coming up at noon. He's from Into the Fountains newsletter, intothefountains.substack.com, and good stuff from Craig Brown that he just released this morning. Interesting stuff on Brady Singer, the outing there, some other things from the weekend that was. So we'll talk with Craig Brown coming up at noon. And then Ben Kuderna from the Royals, the Columbia Fireflies pitcher, last year's second-round draft pick, who was not your typical second-round draft pick, considering he got $3 million in a signing bonus to be a second-rounder, but part of the Mazzucato draft pick in the first round was to be able to get Ben Kuderna in the second round. So we will talk with Royals pitcher Ben Kuderna with the Columbia Fireflies coming up at 11 o'clock. And then we'll be joined by Mick Schaefer at 1 o'clock, KSHB 41 Sports Director. He's brought to you by Kona Big Wave. Take a little break. Single task tonight with a Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing Company. Now, Corey is hanging out with us for now, but he is getting ready to head up and join one Hartzell, who is hanging out at the National today. And boy, a beautiful day to be hanging out at the National, which is why Corey's going to be hanging up there here in just a little bit.
That's right. It's the 41st annual Balls Charity Golf Classic. We do a lot of partnership stuff with Hen House and Balls Charity Golf Classic out there, the Hen House Golf Classic, as some refer to it as well, up at the National and the Deuce. And so I'm going to be heading up there here shortly, and Hartzell is up there getting us underway, and we're excited to be out there and be a part of it.
Hartzell, what's the scene up there like right now that Corey will be hanging out with you? He missed you, and we told him that there's a golf tournament and there's a golf course, and he said, "Can I go?" We said, "Well, Hartzell's there, but certainly, Corey, you can always join."
Well, I can report that conditions are, in fact, ideal here at the National. I got a thing for golf courses now. I think this might be my new gig. Just show up at golf courses and kick it. And so far, I am nailing it, my friends, nailing it.
Do you play much golf, Hartzell, or you just sit there and hang out? Because, you know, we at Blue Hills Country Club, we hung out with you a few days out there. So you've had your rounds of the golf courses around Kansas City.
Every good project needs a foreman, Jason Anderson, and I think that's where I excel the most. I drive a mean golf cart. I can chug a good whiskey, and I think that's about it.
Yep, that's about it. Yep, that's it.
Would you chug a good whiskey or would you sip it? I feel like you'd enjoy a good whiskey.
Depends on what your
Jason,
end
you know
is.
Me. You know me. I said what I said, and I stand by that.
No, but this the 41st annual, this is great because
it's
the
great
Balls
out here, y'all.
Charity
Absolutely.
Classic. Yeah. They help local charities, including the KVC Health Systems, which that is the primary beneficiary of their tournament each year. And they care for over 60,000 kids and families every year in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Kentucky, and West Virginia with in-home family support, foster care, adoption, behavioral health care, and children's psychiatric hospitals. So KVC Health Systems, the primary beneficiary of the Balls Charity Golf Classic and the 41st annual.
It is perfect out here. I feel like we're stepping on the lead, Corey. It is perfect out here. This may be the best day. This may be the best day we've had in all the days. Let's vibe together, Kansas City, up here at the National. I do have, and I don't want to step on anything, but I do have some prizes. Can we say some of these prizes that folks can win?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I mean, we got, let's see, a round of golf for two at the Deuce Golf Club. We've got 40th anniversary Balls Charity Classic golf bag. In fact, I'm looking at this thing right now. I don't golf, but I like to look like I golf. So if you need to look like you golf, we've got golf bags. We've got, let's see here, a dozen Callaway golf balls. We've got tees, gift cards, you name it, we got it. Come vibe, come kick it, come tee with me at the National.
So Corey will be heading up there here in just a little bit as well. Hartzell, we appreciate it, holding down the fort, and Corey will be there joining you. I'm not sure if he's going to be doing much work or not, but he'll be heading up there here in just a little bit.
I got the clubs in the car. I'm going to be out on the range. I'll just let Hartzell run this thing.
There you go. Hartzell, you're the man. Appreciate it, sir.
Love you guys. Let's have some fun, huh? Let's do that golf.
Absolutely. That's what they say in golf. Let's do that golf. So that is up at the National and Hen House, you know, a fine partner here at Sports Radio 810 as well. So we appreciate them being a part
this
of
this is one
that.
Of the best tournaments. You don't get 41st annual. We've been out. Point. I mean, you don't have a golf tournament for 41 years unless it's doing something right. And they do it right. And I can tell you, as somebody who plays in some of these things sometimes, lucky enough to get on some teams from time to time, the Balls Charity Golf Classic is always one that it's nice to be on the teams because they've got great swag that they give the golfers. And it is a very, very well-run tournament, 41st annual, and helping out so many kids and families, not just in the Kansas City mm-hmm. area, but in the region.
Started as 1 year old Jason is when this thing started.
There
so
you go.
How about that? I was 1 year old and they were like, you know what, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. So yeah, that's awesome. Like you said, 41 years and running is that annual charity golf tournament up at the National going on today. Corey en route there in just a little bit. Stanley Cup wrapped up yesterday with the Avalanche getting the win in six games. Fun game to watch. 3-2 final. And then the College World Series wrapping up yesterday. No winner-take-all game three today. I was hoping that would be the case just for the entertainment standpoint. And it felt like for a little bit that that was going to be the case. But then the bottom of the eighth, the Oklahoma Sooners could not get out of that without some pass balls and some errors and some misplays, and Ole Miss taking advantage of that, and they bring the World Series back to Mississippi, where it hadn't been for a good 12 months. So good for them that Mississippi State, with all the bragging rights, they were talking about that during the game, that some of the Ole Miss players were like, we were just so tired of hearing about Miss.
Oh, I bet.
So tired about it.
And that's got to suck for, not, it doesn't suck because you won a title,
mm-hmm.
but for Mississippi State fans, because it's like, we had this to hold over their heads for, cool. 12 months?
Yeah.
All of 12 months? It's like when Travis Kelce set the tight end receiving yards record, and then like 3 hours later, George Kittle broke it. So Travis Kelce held it for about 3 hours.
That's right. Yeah. They're like, have you ever been to Omaha before? Do you know what it's like to even, we can actually draw out a map for you to get to Omaha if you'd like, you know. In fact, we'll just put cowbells along the way so you'll know how to get there to Omaha. That's a cute little baseball program you have there. And then they're one of the last teams in, Ole Miss is. They were sitting there nervous on selection day to see if they would even make the tournament. And then they win the whole thing. Like that's the college baseball part of it as opposed to college basketball. Like, you can sit there and, you know, hope that you make the tournament. But even if you do, you're not winning the whole thing. You can make a run to the Final Four. I mean, VCU was the last four in, and they end up going to the Final Four. They ain't winning it. And Ole Miss not only makes the tournament, gets out of the regional, gets out of a super regional, makes the College World Series final series, and then back-to-back games knocks off Oklahoma. An easier game on Saturday when the bats broke out, but then a big-time performance from the redshirt freshman from Oklahoma, and I can't remember his name. He was phenomenal. He deserved a better fate than watching Ole Miss run out there and celebrate and dogpile on the field when, you know, he pitched just a brilliant, brilliant game. But College World Series, unfortunately, over in two games. We don't get a winner-take-all game three today there in Omaha.
Todd Lebo walking by just now in his OU College World Series t-shirt.
Good for him, man. I bet he had a great time this weekend. I bet he had a really good time. He went to both games, and unfortunately, both games ended up being losses. But you know what? It's about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having fun. He thought Oklahoma was going to be eliminated before the final round teed off at the U.S. Open. And instead, 1 week later, he was in Omaha watching his Oklahoma Sooners play for a College World Series. I mean, that's pretty good. That's found money right there. I mean, it's lost money for him.
Money, yeah.
Because, you know, what he spent to go to Omaha. But it's found money in terms of your rooting interest at the College World. So,
But you know Lebo. Lebo is a frugal kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
I guarantee you he's looking at this and saying, okay, I spent this much money and they didn't win either game.
Yeah.
And this is really a poor decision by me to go ahead and spend that money to go do that to watch two losses.
Yeah. But he watched his team in the College World Series.
This is true.
I would like to do that. And plus, you can just drive right up the road. Just drive right up the road. He told the story this morning. It's like, as they were driving up on Saturday, he's like, Mississippi plate, Mississippi plate, Mississippi plate, Mississippi plate. this is going to be an interesting day there. And it showed, by the way, because Ole Miss showed out. They were in Arkansas.
Such a great event.
Yeah, it is awesome. I need to get back there. Like I said, the last time I went to the College World Series, Houston Street pitched for the Texas Longhorns in that one. By the way, did you see the stat yesterday that, again, I need to look up the name of the redshirt freshman, but the last time a College World Series game where a pitcher had that many strikeouts was in the actual final World Series was Brady Singer for Florida. So they were showing the stats like, last time this has happened, and I'm like, hey, it's Brady Singer right there. That's pretty good. But done by a redshirt freshman who had Tommy John surgery and came back. So that was a cool story. But College World Series wrapping up yesterday, and Ole Miss gets the win, an all-SEC championship. So you had an all-SEC championship in softball and an all-SEC championship in baseball as well.
Yep.
Oklahoma,
granted,
Texas.
Three of the four participants were currently Big 12, but...
Not sure what you're talking about. That is an all-SEC softball and baseball World Series. So there you go. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810. An interesting weekend for the Royals. Let's get into this. Let's talk Royals. An interesting weekend. They lose 2 of 3 to the A's, unfortunately. So they are 500 against the A's this year. Took 2 of 3 in Oakland. Lose 2 of 3 in Kansas City over the weekend. So they are 3-3 against the A's. So, you know, it's just the Spider-Man meme. Just looking back and forth of, hey, you're the A's. We're the same. We're 3-3. We're the same exact team. An outlook this year. Interesting, though, in, you know, the win Friday, the way they played Saturday and on into Sunday as well left a lot to be desired. Friday was a lot of fun. Zach Greinke pitched really well in his return. Edward Olivares, in his return, has 2 home runs that were huge shots, and those were the game winners because the final score was 3-1, so they needed the 2 runs. That's really it. And Edward Olivares showed out well, and it was a fun Friday night. And a fun Friday night when you've got Big Slick going on, you've got the softball game that happens, and then the actual game with Big Slick as well. You get the interviews with Paul Rudd and Eric Stonestreet with Joel Goldberg there. And I thought it was interesting that Paul Rudd said that the first ever Big Slick game that they had, Zach Greinke was on the mound. The first ever one, and then Zach Greinke on the mound. So everything coming full circle. I thought that was cool as well. You were out there on Friday night. What was that like as you were sitting with the celebrities? You were there with the one percenters. So right where you are now enjoying life, right?
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a great night, and it was obviously awesome that the Royals win and hit a couple of homers. And if you were out there for Big Slick, where they put us, if you buy the tickets through Big Slick to be able to meet the celebrities, mm-hmm. and all of that, is in the Hall of Fame suites. So right there, like Edward Olivares hits 2 home runs up there. And so it was pretty fun. The action came up there where we were at. His second home run landed, I don't know, 10 feet in front of me. I showed you today.
Yeah.
I paused it right where it landed, and you could see me sitting at the table, like right back behind where his second
with
home
your
run
glove
landed.
On. You had your glove on. You
I
were very
not,
excited.
Oh. I am not. I'm 45 years old, so I'm not allowed to take a glove. To a Major League Baseball game. But, it was outstanding. And then, you know, obviously throughout the weekend, Big Slick ends up raising over $3.5 million for Children's Mercy. So it was fun. It's really cool that the celebrities do that. Like, one thing that people need to know, they might not know this about Big Slick, the celebrities don't get paid. Mm. And the Big Slick offers to pay for their travel. Most of them don't even take them up on that. Most of them foot their own bill for their travel. Not that that's a big deal. Yeah. They make a lot of money and their travel's not that much, but they come and they spend time with the kids at the hospital. They do a couple of different hospital tours. They play games and do fun stuff with the kids there. They put on 5 different events, essentially, when you count in the hospital visits. But they had a Thursday night deal where they were out at John and Marnie Sherman's house with a big kind of super, super selective group of people that spent good money to come out and be out at John and Marnie Sherman's house for a big party. And then they do the Hall of Fame suites, and then they do the big event at T-Mobile Center. And those celebrities that come out and do that. I mean, obviously the guys that are from here, it's their hometown. But yeah. A lot of these other people, their only tie to Kansas City is that many of them have been here before and done this, and they've loved it. They enjoy what they do, and they come back year after year. And so I know some people, like, thumb their nose at Big Slick, and they think, oh, the softball game's lame, and they're not – like, I see people make comments like, damn, man. Like, how can you even find any negative about a bunch of celebrities coming out for free to raise money for sick kids? Such a cool event.
Yeah, I need to – I haven't gone yet. I need to go. My brother went on Friday, and that was the first time he's gone to a Big Slick softball game and the game as well, and he had a blast. So I need to go next year. I got to make a point of it that, you know what, on that Friday, I'm going to be going to the Big Slick. Check out the softball game, you know, enjoy that. Then the baseball game as well. Hopefully it's a nice night. Friday was a pretty nice night and a fun game to be out there as Greinke gets the win and pitches well. And as we said, Edward Olivares makes his return and hits a couple of home runs. And that's kind of where it ended for the Royals over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Because a couple of games where they could have won. And it's been part of the theme this year for the Royals has been the what could have been. Oh, you could have won this game and this happened there and a little bit there. And it was the offense this time and it was the bullpen this time and it was the starting pitcher this time. And it was everything, just different parts along the way that continue to, you know, have the Royals losing and be in this stretch to where they are just playing some bad baseball. And it happened yet again over the weekend, where you've got Brad Keller on Saturday and Brady Singer yesterday, and somehow both of them, while they give up a total of, what, 9 earned runs between the two of them, you felt like they deserved better fate than what they actually had. You felt like they pitched better than what the numbers were, even though Brady Singer pitched into the 9th inning. Like, a starting pitcher for the Royals threw a pitch in the 9th inning, which is just amazing. Now, he had given up 4 earned runs at that point, but he threw a pitch in the 9th inning, and I think it was Craig Brown that looked at it, and since 2016, for pitchers to give up 5 earned runs and to go at least 8 innings, Brady Singer was the 8th pitcher to do that since 2016. Because if you're giving up that many runs, you're not staying in the game in today's baseball. And that is a very old school box score line of 8 1/3 and 5 earned runs. Now, he left the game with only 4, and he probably, make a case that he probably should have only given up 2. And even in the 9th inning, you know, only giving up 2. Because you got an infield single, you've got a pass ball that was scored a wild pitch, but no, that's just whatever. We can get into that in a little bit with MJ Melendez. It's got to be some conversation about that, so we'll discuss that here in just a bit. But Brady Singer probably deserved better fate, and Brad Keller definitely deserved better fate. We had the Bobby Witt amazing play. A Bobby Witt home run, Edward Olivares couple of home runs, a starting pitcher pitching into the 9th inning, and Zach Greinke pitching brilliantly on Friday night. And yet the takeaway is, how'd you lose 2 of 3 to the A's? Mm-hmm. Because you can point out the positives and the really good things that you can take away. Bobby Witt showing why he can be a superstar. He can be one of the best players in baseball. Brady Singer pitching into the 9th inning, being very pitch efficient. The problem with Saturday's game is, and this goes back to a conversation we had about, you know, we were talking about it when Daniel Lynch, when his first couple of innings happened 2 starts ago, and he was like, look, didn't know how long I was going to be in the game, so I wanted to attack. I wanted to get out there and be more efficient with the pitches, but just attack the strike zone because I didn't know how much longer I was going to be in the game. 10 batters, he got 7 strikeouts. We were wondering what would happen this next go around. Now we find out that he's got a blister on his left middle finger, and it's bothered him for a few starts. So maybe that's why I had mentioned against the Angels that it was just frustrating to watch Daniel Lynch when Shohei Ohtani is just pounding the strike zone and Lynch is wild and all over the place and still only gives up like 1 run, but, you know, throws 100 pitches to go 4 and whatever, you know, innings. And It's like, man, can you have somebody that just goes out there and just attacks? And then he goes on the IL with the blister issue, the Jeremy Offelt on his left hand. So he's got that going on. And they said it had been a few starts. So then when Mike Matheny says last week that Daniel Lynch was battling, well, I give him a little more credit now. If that was the case and he was losing command because he's battling this blister,
just battling his mental and his command.
Right.
He's actually battling something physical.
Yeah, that's actually bothering him. That will affect your command. That will affect how you can place a slider or even the fastball as well. So we hear about that and J.J. Piccolo talking about that, you know, pitch to contact, things like that. Saturday's game with Brad Keller is why the theory of early on in counts pitching to contact is oftentimes and can be a fool's errand and a losing proposition because you are relying on your defense behind you, which should be good. When we talked before the season, we thought maybe the Royals might have one of the best defenses in the American League. Benintendi and Michael A. Taylor won gold gloves. Whit Merrifield in right field. Alcides at shortstop. Bobby Witt at third. Nicky Lopez at second. Even Carlos Santana at first. Like, that was going to be the defense for the Royals this year. Did I say Alcides Escobar? I meant Adalberto Mondesi. Either way.
I looked up and I was like, what?
Yeah, huh? Neither of them are playing shortstop for the Royals right now. It's Bobby Witt, where it should have been all along. But we thought it was going to be one of the best defenses in the American League. Now, obviously, pieces have moved around, and Edward Olivares is still getting better at defense and still needing to improve at defense. And battling the sun, yes, is a problem. But on Saturday, it's the issue of pitching to contact. Because Brad Keller was not hit around. He wasn't hit hard. A couple of the runs that ended up scoring in the first inning, the two runs that scored on hits, or at least balls put in play, was 79 miles an hour and 70 miles an hour. I mean, that's doing what the Royals want him to do. One happened to be a pop-up that fell in the outfield because sometimes contact does fall, even if it's soft contact. And another one was, you know, a single that was an infield single, but, you know, 70 miles an hour. And so when you're pitching to contact, you need to be almost perfect behind you. And when Edward Olivares loses a couple in the sun, which should have been two outs, it starts to cost you. And Brad Keller should have had a better line than what he actually did. Because, look, in the first inning, and this is where, like, Mike Matheny saying, oh, we had a couple of opportunities. You know, we just feel like had a couple of games get away from us. It's not all on a manager. Players got to go and make plays. Mm-hmm. But the strategy behind the first inning with a runner at third and one out in a 0-0 game in the top of the first and bringing the infield in, I just don't understand the Mike Matheny that he can't even sometimes get out of his own way. Well, you know, you have a pitcher that's pitching to contact, right? So you expect the ball is going to be put in play. So what's a better chance of happening? A ball hit right at an infielder or the ball hit past an infielder or put into play and you have another runner get on base and you score the run anyway. And yes, Bobby Witt could have made the play. We talk about how amazing Bobby Witt is. The ball was hit to his, you know, arm side, backhands it, doesn't field it cleanly, tries to pick it up, it rolls away from him, the runner gets to first, it's not an out. The run doesn't score, but it's not an out. If the infield were back, that's an easy play for Dozier. Going to his left, scoop it, and throw. The ball was hit so soft, that's an easy play for Dozier. You'd have two outs and nobody on. Instead, that runner that was on first that got there on an error ends up coming around and scoring. And you've got a 2-0 deficit instead of 1-0. And then you go to the third, and Kemp has a leadoff, air quotes, double on Edward Olivares losing it in the sun.
It's very generous.
Yes, I know.
Both the hitter and the fielder there.
No kidding. And unfortunate for Brad Keller. He's the only guy that really did his job.
Yeah.
The hitter got under the pitch and missed it, and Edward Olivares didn't catch it, and Brad Keller is the one that gets screwed on that one. And that guy scores on a ground out. So now you're down 3-0. And in the fourth, you get a one-out double. Again, Edward Olivares lost in the sun. It should have been two out and nobody on. And then you get an Allen double when Elvis Andrus is on base that Whit Merrifield slides and kicks into left center because, again, the ball put in play. Now you're down 4-1. Could have been a clean inning. Could have had three outs. Instead, you got multiple runs score in that inning. So, you know, the whole put the ball in play, pitch to contact, your defense has to help you out from time to time. Defense has to be there to come through. And the Royals didn't have that on Saturday. And they had issues. And the starting pitcher should have been better lines than what they ended up being. But it kind of starts with the first inning when you're going up against the A's. And for some reason, you've got the infield in with nobody, one out. It's a 0-0 game. It's 0-0. It's not like four, and you're like, all right, we got to get something here. You give up the run. Great. Go get it back.
And you're playing the A's.
You've got 9 innings to get the run back.
Against the A's.
Right. I mean, some of those decisions, if we get into we are analyzing every part of the Royals this year because they're not competing this year, but who's going to be there when they are competing? Is it going to be, is Brady Singer, Daniel Lynch, Kowar got called back up? Who's going to be a part of the Royals when they start to win? If and when they start to win, who's going to be there? And so while we analyze and look at and judge and grade the players, we do that with the manager as well. And there have been some head-scratching decisions in losses that get sort of flushed away because there are so many other things to talk about. Because Edward Olivares losing the ball in the sun was the story. Kyle Isbell's mistake in the ninth inning, or the bottom of the eighth inning, I guess it was part of the story. First and second, nobody out. Down 8-7. And Isbell, the ball barely gets away from the catcher. You can't make that mistake. He goes to third. He's thrown out. Benintendi, 2 pitches later, gets called out on strikes. And now all of a sudden there's a man on first, 2 outs. You're still down by 1. It's a bad mistake. But we don't remember the first inning. Like, those are things that if you're going to be winning a pennant, if you're going to be winning a division, if you're going to be in a race to make the playoffs, those decisions matter in games. Players have to come through, and Bobby Witt, yes, should have fielded the ball. Make the throw to first, and now there's 2 outs and a man at third. But still, you want to avoid the big inning. They had an extra run score because of that decision. They were down 8-7 in the eighth inning. It's the butterfly effect. I get it. But maybe the butterfly effect turns out to be that Brad Keller pitches so much better the rest of the way if you don't give up 2 runs there in the first. Who knows? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue rolling. I do want to talk about some of the things that took place over the weekend. Santana is hitting the ball really well, continues to do that. There are some injuries in Major League Baseball. Ty France for the Mariners is on the 10-day IL. Bryce Harper has a broken thumb that he's going to be out 6-8 weeks, maybe even the season. We'll see. Sounds like the Phillies could use Andrew Benintendi. So we'll talk about some of those things. And, of course, we'll analyze MJ Melendez. We'll get into some Chiefs today. Ben Kuderna coming up at 11 o'clock. Craig Brown at noon. Mick Schaefer, 1 o'clock. More Zone next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
That's all politics is. It's a freak.
Jen, are we there?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, am I back?
What a perfect time for the mic to go out. Oh, just a perfect time to drop when you're on remote. 913-912-4810 is the text line to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. We will talk to Ben Kuderna coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll also talk with Craig Brown coming up at noon. Mick Schaefer at 1 o'clock will join us. Tech says, the weekend's Royals games did nothing to help the front office and managerial interpretation of how and why they play and make in-game decisions. Yeah, I mean, look, you look at the over, like, there's a couple of ways to view the weekend. You look at it and you go, Zach Greinke pitched really well. Edward Olivares had a couple of big home runs on Friday in his return, and he continues to mash. on Saturday, Bobby Witt makes just a phenomenal play. He hits a home run over the weekend as well. Brady Singer pitches into the ninth inning as a starting pitcher. The Royals on Saturday, after winning on Friday night, go and score seven runs in a game. Like, all of these things, like, you look at it, and like, wow, there are some real positives to take away from what took place over the weekend, except for the fact that they lose 2 of 3 to the A's. They've got that going for them, which is nice. Yes. Tech says if the team believes in Junior, Singer, Lynch, extend them. The rest should be shopped to see what you can get. You know, hey, look, I'd love for them to extend Bobby Witt Jr. right now. Fernando Tatis type deal, whatever it might be. I don't know that he would go for that, but I'd love for them to do that and go ahead and lock him up. That'd be great. Not going to happen. Daniel Lynch, same thing. Singer, not going to happen as well. What is going to happen is Corey's heading out to the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic, partnering up with Hen House. That's at the National, the Deuce, which supports several local charities. KVC Health Systems, the primary beneficiary, which cares for over 60,000 kids and families in Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, Kentucky, West Virginia. They've got in-home family support, foster care, adoption, behavioral health care, and children's psychiatric hospitals as well. So that is the 41st Annual Balls Charity Golf Classic, teaming up with Hen House at the National going on today. Corey up there, Hartzell up there as well. Let's talk about, I don't think it's the elephant in the room. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's just sort of something sitting out there that you wonder what the future is going to be behind the plate. Because Salvador Perez had surgery on Friday. We know that. We talked about it on Friday. And out, you know, however long, what, 8 weeks or so, they did say they expect him to return this year, which is great. You know, if he returns this year, is he going to play catcher? I have no idea if he's going to catch or not, or is he just going to simply DH, and we'll see what the roster looks like when Salvador Perez returns. I don't think the roster looks like it does in its current construction. I don't think so. I have a feeling that, you know, there might be less players on the team that are currently on the team and some others that have not made their major league debut yet. If it is going to take 8 weeks for Salvi to return, we'll find out. In fact, when, you know, Ty France goes down and they're talking about, and Bryce Harper going down, they're talking about different different players across Major League Baseball that could be on the move, that could make up for some injuries. And when you're looking at Ty France being out, Hunter Dozier's name was mentioned in one of the stories at MLB.com about players that could be available to supplement that spot, that you're able to play the infield, play first base. And Hunter Dozier's bat's been fine this year. Has not been what it was a year ago. So I don't know what the roster is going to look like when Salvador Perez returns. Is he going to DH and just to get his bat in the lineup? We'll see. Is he going to catch coming back from the surgically repaired thumb? Or just say, you know what, you don't have to catch the rest of the season? Because from right now moving forward, they still owe the man $73 million over the next 3.5 years. So there is a substantial investment into Salvi. $20 million the next couple of years, $22 million the year after that, and then a $2 million buyout for the mutual option. $64 million plus the $9 they owe him the rest of the way. So they are on the hook for $73 million more dollars. I don't know if they're going to trade Salvi. I doubt it, because I don't think the Royals would find a deal out there that they would feel is sufficient value for Salvi and what they believe he brings to the table and his role in Kansas City, his role with the organization, the team, being the heart and soul, being Salvi, a World Series MVP, versus the way that another team will judge him based on production, position, and salary. What do you get in return? Because there's the nostalgia, there's the emotional investment, there's the what the player means to that organization. When he goes to a new organization, he does not bring that with him. He does not have that value on the trade market. So I don't think anything's going to happen there with Salvi. So next year, 2024, what position is Salvador Perez going to be playing? I'm assuming it's going to be catcher here in Kansas City. And the reason I'm making that assumption is it may not be the elephant in the room, but it's the catcher's mitt in the room that hasn't been very good. And that's what we've seen from MJ Melendez behind the plate. The Royals have, you know, I'll make a comparison to the Chiefs a year ago and Spagnuolo and his defense. They showed you what position they value by moving a dominant defensive tackle to defensive end where he will be a lesser than player. Because they view defensive end as being more important and more valuable to the overall defense than defensive tackle. They said that. Which is why next offseason, do they trade Chris Jones? We'll find out. We'll see. The Royals also told you what their view of the catcher position moving forward is when they moved MJ Melendez off of catcher, when they moved him to right field, when he was scheduled to play right field in a game before, what was it, that Salvi went down with the thumb injury the first time and went on the IL, but has also played right field for the Royals. They ain't moving Salvi to the outfield. They're not moving Salvi to first. They're moving MJ Melendez. And let's not act like they don't have a right fielder. I mean, they've got Witt. He's played right field. They've got Dozier. He's played right field. Doesn't mean they're specifically right fielders, but neither is MJ Melendez. They're all playing positions they probably don't play. Whit Merrifield, second base, he plays some right field. Hunter Dozier, third base, first base, you put him out there, he can play some right field. MJ Melendez, catcher DH, put him out there, he can play some right field. Edward Olivares is more of a, okay, he can be your everyday right fielder. He continues or still has to continue to get better defensively. We saw that on Saturday, blame the sun or not. Regardless, we know he has struggled defensively in left field with Benintendi on the team. They moved him to right field. We'll see what his future is going to be. But MJ Melendez was the guy that they moved for a reason. Because they still view Salvi, as they should, as the catcher of the future. Because they thought this year they were going to be competing. So if they thought this year they were going to compete, they certainly thought next year they were going to compete. And the year after that, while they have Salvi under contract for $20 or $20+ million. But MJ Melendez is going to get a long look to catch, maybe the rest of the year. And I don't know that that's a good thing or a bad thing for the Royals. It might be a good thing because he may get more comfortable. He may improve. He may start to show the defense that people talked about that he can be an above average catcher. He doesn't have to be a gold glover, but can he be an above average catcher? We're clearly not seeing that. And even outside of the errant throws, and yes, those need to be better. But worse than that is just simply catching the ball and blocking the pitches. It's an incredibly difficult position to play. You have to be so freaking good to play catcher in Major League Baseball. But two runs scored over the weekend based on his inability to block the ball or just simply catch it. I mean, in the ninth inning, he has a fastball, or it might have been a slider, that he just simply missed. He just missed. He's trying to scoop it. He's going to throw to third. Right? It looked like he was maybe trying to throw behind the runner. And, like, you've got to be able to catch the ball. And if you are going to try to throw behind the runner, maybe don't do that when it's a called slider from Barlow who may put one in the dirt. Like, you know what pitch is coming. You called it. And it's in the dirt. And you try to just backhand and scoop it while sliding to your left because you're going to throw behind the runner. Well, that runner scored. Just trying to do too much. You're up by one. You got a man at third. Barlow's on the mound. He can strike the guys out. And by the way, if he wasn't trying to throw down to third, to throw behind the runner, well, then that's even more egregious. I'm giving him benefit of the doubt, thinking that he's getting ready to slide to his left. The ball was a little bit more in the dirt than he wanted it to be, and he was going to fire it over to third. And he just simply didn't scoop it. That happens. Okay. Shouldn't, because we see it too often with MJ Melendez. And in the fourth inning, that was the ninth inning on Saturday, I believe. But in the, I'm getting my MJ Melendez dropping balls mixed up. And in the fourth inning, with Brady Singer on the mound, it was a slider that he just dropped. And Bryant ended up going to second. So Brady Singer walks a guy, his only walk of the game. He's at first. He throws a slider. Melendez doesn't catch it. Just drops the ball. It's not a wild pitch. It's not even a pass ball. Like, how do you score that? Because it didn't get past the catcher. It hits his glove and falls down. And he does a little spin move, you know, trying to find the ball. And in the meantime, Bride goes to second. A grounder to first moves Bride over to third. And then a single scores him with two outs. By the way, that grounder to first moves Bride to second if Melendez just simply catches the ball. And the sharp line drive into right field does not score Bride from second because the ball was hit too hard. Now, maybe with a guy on third, Brady Singer gives up a home run and it's even worse and whatever. But those small things cost you a run here, a run there, and Brady Singer gives up five earned runs yesterday. I can make a case that that shouldn't have been a run. So there's one less run. Brady Singer does put his glove on the ball with two outs in the seventh inning when Pache's up. And it should be a ground ball out with two outs. And Whit Merrifield's behind second. And the ball bounces into right field. And Whit Merrifield also can't secure the ball because of some random hop or bounce. And then you get Pache going to second. I know those are things that aren't MJ Melendez. But I don't know that it's a good thing that MJ Melendez is going to be catching the rest of the way. I don't think they're planning on trading MJ Melendez, by the way. But one of the conversations we had earlier in the season was if they are going to make a trade that hurts, is MJ Melendez the guy that they're going to make a trade that hurts? Because the value he will bring back would be substantial because he's a really good bat behind the dish who's pretty athletic. But the more you see him, the more you wonder, can he catch? Or did the Royals move him to right field because they knew that wasn't, they wanted his bat, they wanted him to be a part of the team, but they needed to find a spot for him. So put him in the outfield. And Nick Prado, put him in the outfield, need to find a spot for him. They're moving guys around from natural positions to find spots that may be weaknesses, but MJ Melendez, his natural position is supposed to be catcher, and he's having a hard time even catching the baseball. That can't happen. And the more it happens, the more you know they're going to stay with Salvi, regardless of injuries or struggle, because right now they don't have a choice. They don't have a replacement. They thought it was MJ Melendez. He is showing them that's probably not the case. We'll take a timeout, wrap up this hour next.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
I like to focus on the negative.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, go to 810WHB.com. You can still vote for the honorary ESPYs finalists that are up there, all the different categories we have. You can vote for who you find to be the most deserving of our local honorary ESPYs. Thank you to ESPN for choosing Kansas City yet again. 810WHB.com is the spot for you to vote for the honorary ESPYs presented by Whataburger, Mike DePasquale, and the law offices of DePasquale Moore and Sandlot Goods. They help present the honorary ESPYs and the finals that are there, male and female high school and college athletes of the year. We got the high school coach and the team of the year, got the KC fan of the year, clutch performance of the year, and other categories that are up there. Go check that out. 810WHB.com. Click on the ESPYs icon and you can go and vote for the finalists in all those different categories. We'll talk with Craig Brown coming up later on the show, Mick Schaefer as well. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk to Royals prospect Ben Kuderna, Columbia Fireflies, coming up next.